He has been a professional money manager for the last 18 years. He is a regular contributor to the Fox Business Channel and Bloomberg Radio. In addition to this, he is a regular contributor to TheStreet.com and MarketWatch.com. Now he's live here on the Wall Street Business Network. Here is Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday morning, the May 20th edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management. Let's see, how are we starting? It looks like we're red today, mostly red. The Dow is down a couple of points here. We can put up with that, can't we? 18,310. After all, this market has more than tripled since 2009. The loss of a few points, you got to deal with it once in a while. The S&P 500 is down a couple of points, 2,125 is where we sit on the S&P 500 right now. The NASDAQ is at 5,058. It was at 5,069 yesterday, meaning it's down 11 points today, or about a quarter of a percent. Crude oil is dropping a little bit. The crude oil, the energy stocks have been under pressure for the last couple of weeks. Crude oil is dropped back a little bit from its recent high, but it's still at $58.61 per barrel. We have gold at 1,211. It seems like almost daily for the last 2 years I've been announcing that gold is right around $1,200 per ounce. It just can't make any headway. It wants inflation. It wants a dollar that is collapsing, and it's getting neither. The euro, 1.11. And of course, the European Central Bank, the ECB, announced earlier this week that they're going to speed up the printing presses. Do you hear it coming? Can you hear the wind coming from those printing presses and the euros flying off the press? The euro's at 111. The 10-year yield right now is at 2.26%. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio R with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. A couple of big items that I want to talk about today. The biggest one is the bond market. I just spent especially yesterday, pretty much in an all-day meeting with a bunch of guys in my industry, leaders in the industry, that have their pulse on the market and on trading and on investors and on the economy and this and that. And one of the big topics, and I think we all agree on that, and even industry giants agree, that we're now in a rising interest rate environment. And big corporations, industry leaders in my industry are bracing themselves for a rising interest rate environment. And guess what the robots are busy doing right now? They're busy buying bonds, because that's how the system works. If you're a traditional asset allocator and you began the year with a 50-50 bond stock portfolio, well, the stock side of your portfolio is up about 2 or 3% so far this year. The bond side of your portfolio is down about 2 or 3%. The net result is you're at zero for the year, but your weighting has gone from 50-50. You've gone to 53% stocks now and 47% bonds. So you have to buy some bonds to bring back up the weighting to 50% on the bond side. And you have to be selling some stocks right now to bring your weighting of stocks back down to 50%. So the robots are busy buying bonds and selling stocks. That's a conundrum for me. Here we are in the face of a major headwind called the bond market. If you look at the long-term averages of where the Fed has kept their interest rate, it's been up around 3, 3.5, 4%. And we still have a zero interest rate policy in the U.S. In the meantime, we have the unemployment rate dropping to near 5%. I've heard a few predictions that it will go as low as 4% in the next year or two, meaning that we're way out of whack right now with interest rates of where we're at. When you're at full employment, which is where we seem to be headed, interest rates should be around 3 or 4%. We're at 0%. So there's this awful lot of risk in my book, in just my logical way of thinking. And the numbers are kicking it back to me from my app that I update every single day, that the bond market is a very scary place to be. Now, I had a discussion with a gentleman next to me that manages money. Now, he holds his bonds to maturity. He buys 5-year, 7-year bonds and holds them to maturity. Very rarely does he sell that bond during the interim, and then you're at the whims of the market of wherever that bond is at that time. So he does okay for his clients. He buys those bonds, holds them to maturity, sells them for face value, and they've collected their interest along the way. But the vast majority of people in my industry, not me included in that, they own huge amounts of bond funds right now. They either own bond mutual funds or they own bond ETFs. And if you look at a few of these ETFs right now, well, let's just pull up AGG right now, which is the Aggregate Bond Index. That's not a pretty picture at all. The Aggregate Bond Index has $15 billion in it. That's one of the smaller ones. There's some huge exchange-traded funds that focus on the bond market. If we look at LQD, another one, that's another $17 billion exchange-traded fund. They invest in liquid investment-grade bonds. That thing's gone from 123 down to 117, and I think it has a lot of downside risk below. But you know what? The vast majority of people in this industry has, oh man, for lack of a better word, has been stupefied. It's been stupefied down to the fact that, hey, just plug the stats of the person that you're going to manage money for into a computer, and out comes their asset allocation recommendations. Put them in a few ETFs and mutual funds that match that asset allocation, and then rebalance it once a quarter, and then move on to the next guy or the next gal. And that's really the way that the industry has gone. They don't want, especially the big firms, they don't want people putting together stock portfolios. They don't want people moving to the sidelines in cash when they see storm clouds out on the horizon in a certain asset class. They don't want people trying to guess or trying to invest in the very best sectors of the market now. Instead, they want all the bases covered. You can't lose too much. You can't make too much. But now here we are in the face of a rising interest rate environment. When's the last time we saw a rising interest rate environment? It's been quite some time, which would be another point I would like to make. A lot of people in the industry haven't been through a rising interest rate environment. They haven't been through a dot-com panic. A lot of things they haven't seen in their lifetimes. And as I sat around the table with about 15 of my peers, they happened to have their annual meeting 2 blocks from my office. Made it real handy for me. These guys are grizzled veterans. They've been through some wars. I've been through some wars. You know, we talk about the different sell-offs and the different shellackings that the market has taken. There's something to be said for that experience and what we bring to the table in watching things over the years and watching people do the same dumb things that created the panics and the sell-offs in the first place. And now we've got robots investing people's money, completely oblivious to the fact that out there lies some big storm clouds called rising interest rates, a rising interest rate environment. Well, I'm not a robot. I have a brain. I try to put a little logic into the equation. I do things very methodically. I have no exposure to the bond market. A rising interest rate environment is bad for REITs. It's bad for preferreds. It's bad for bonds. It's bad for anything that pays some kind of coupon rate or some kind of income. Because in a rising interest rate environment, the principal of those investments goes down. I say bond buyers, beware. A new bear market is underway in the bond market. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour.
Are you having a hard time being in the right places at the right time in the market and being out of the wrong neighborhoods when troubles arise? Why don't you download Bill Gunderson's app, Best Stocks Now, on your Apple or Android device? Every day, the Best Stocks Now app ranks the 45 asset classes that you have to choose from as an investor. It is absolutely vital to be in the right asset classes and out of the wrong ones. This has the potential to greatly increase your portfolio returns over time. It is also important to be in the right sectors of the market and out of the worst ones. The Best Stocks Now app ranks the various sectors in the markets on a daily basis. The app also ranks about 3,500 investment choices daily. The ranking is based on performance, value, and technical patterns. Download the app today from the Apple App Store or the Android Marketplace. That's the Best Stocks Now app. Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter gave a buy signal on the market on March 27, 2009. That was just 18 days after the S&P 500 had finally hit bottom at 666. The buy signal has been in place ever since. How valuable was that call in the weekly newsletter to investors? The market has more than doubled since then. While market pundits were clamoring about a collapsing dollar, runaway inflation, and soaring gold prices, Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter told investors that stocks were the best place to be. Bill Gunderson is not a permabull, however. At some point in the future, the newsletter will give a sell signal. Investors, be warned. The last bear market took 53% out of the S&P 500. Why not sign up for a free 4-week trial to Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter? You can do so by visiting his website at pwstreet.com. Again, that's pwstreet.com.
There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com.
Prevent those frustrating seasonal symptoms, including sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes that can spoil your time outdoors by supercharging your immune response right at the source, your digestive tract, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. If your immune system views pollen, animal dander, or wheat as a dangerous invader, it will react by stimulating an inflammatory response and incite all those unpleasant symptoms. What you may not know is that the immune receptor cells residing in your gut all depend on a healthy probiotic population to function at their peak. That's why Dr. Fred Pescatore, a best-selling author on the subject, recommends Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as a top-tier defense in the management of seasonal symptoms. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics delivers live, beneficial bacteria in an easily absorbed formula and is backed by over 25 years of research. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference and enjoy the outdoors again.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
And welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. You know, it's not just me warning about a rising interest rate environment and what that means for your bond holdings, your bond funds especially, bond funds and bond ETFs. The industry in general is bracing itself for a rising interest rate environment. People that have followed the markets for a long time and have followed the economy for a long time know, and in fact, common sense would say that the U.S. cannot maintain a zero interest rate policy for much longer. Otherwise, it's going to lead to a wild bout of inflation, and the Fed knows that. They're between a rock and a hard place. Even though the economy is not exactly where they want it right now, they really have no choice but to start raising interest rates. And that's going to be very, very tough on the bond market. So, you know, look, a lot of you that listen to my show, I have a lot of advisors that listen to my show. And the choice is, you can continue doing what you've been taught to do by National, Northwestern, Mutual Life, or whoever you've been taught by about asset allocation and traditional asset allocation. But I'm here to say that I've seen some bear markets in my days, and I believe that the bond market, in fact, I said it 3-4 weeks ago in my newsletter, that a new bear market has begun in the bond market. And at some point in time, a new bear market will begin in the stock market. And then we'll be left with cash, gold, maybe foreign stocks, and maybe some of those inverse funds. You can actually invest in rising interest rates. There's inverse bond funds. I would rather own an inverse bond fund right now than a bond fund that's on the long side of the equation. So investment advisors are faced with the conundrum. If you're an investor, I think you need to look at your account and understand just what your just understand one thing. What percent of your portfolio is in the bond market and what percent of your portfolio is in the stock market? And maybe the third question would be, what percent is in cash? And I would have a discussion with my advisor about my bond holdings right now. Am I safe in the bond market? Do I have too much? Are you prepared? How are you prepared to manage this money through a rising interest rate environment? I would not want to be Bill Gross right now. I would not want to be a big fund like PIMCO. Now, they've been diversifying. I mean, they've seen this day coming. And PIMCO has been diversifying and buying up, starting stock mutual funds and equities mutual funds, preparing for the day when interest rates start to rise. Bill Gross had the wind at his back for years, for more than a decade, creating the biggest mutual fund in America, the PIMCO Total Return Fund. And the PIMCO Total Return Fund is right in the crosshairs of a rising interest rate environment. And, you know, you don't see Bill Gross as much on TV anymore. He's no longer with PIMCO. He's now with another fund, took a lot of his investors with him. But I don't think the bond king is going to be the king of the world like he was when he had the wind at his back. And now bond investors have the wind in their face. Now, having said that, you know, there's a lot of good advisors out there. I sat next to one, a fine gentleman from Lansing, Michigan, does things the old way, Midwestern values, hard work, ethical, great guy. And he sees the rising interest rate environment. I said, what are you doing about it? Because he mentioned to me that he does buy quite a few individual bonds, okay? And he holds them to maturity. But the average investment advisor now in this industry does not know how to choose an individual bond. They just know how to choose a bond fund or a bond ETF. And boy, are they subject to rising interest rates. You just watch. Just look at some charts right now. In my newsletter every weekend, I show any charts that I think are very ominous looking. I send out warnings, small craft warnings. Do not go outside the harbor today or next week or for the next few several years. And I showed that bond market chart. I used TLT, which is the long bond. And, of course, the longer a bond is, the longer the term is, the more volatile it's going to be. And that was the other thing that the gentleman next to me we talked about. He doesn't go past 5-7 years. Gets a nice return at the end, gets his money back for the client, and everybody's happy. But the bond fund ebbs and flows daily with interest rates. The bond ETF ebbs and flows daily with interest rates. So I don't have a problem with folks buying individual bonds that are fairly short-term in nature and holding them to maturity. That's a good investment. If you invest in a quality A minus or better, around in there, somewhere in there. Now, if you have to sell it before it comes, before the maturity date, then you may have to take a little hit because it trades daily too, subject to interest rate fluctuations. But if you're going to hold it to maturity, that would be the best strategy in this market. So again, I would have that conversation with my advisor, or it may be your own advisor. Are you prepared, or what is your plan for managing money in a rising interest rate environment? And I've also talked about inverse funds over the years, how they can come in very handy from time to time. Inverse funds go the opposite way. When TLT goes down, I believe it's PST, PST goes up, all right? Yeah, exactly, twice the performance. It has a very solid chart right now. It's the inverse. You are investing in a rising interest rate environment. And as the bond market goes down, the inverse side of that goes up. You can hedge. You can use these things as a hedge if you have a large individual bond portfolio. If you have a large holding in bond funds or bond ETFs, there's no way you can hedge that against that. It would take too much. You're better off, in my opinion, not having any exposure to bond funds. Well, what are you saying, Gunderson? There's trillions of dollars in bond funds and bond ETFs. Well, it is what it is. They're rolling over. Just like a stock market has a bear market, the bond market has bear markets. And I don't want to be around in the stock market when earnings start to fall and the bear starts to wake up and that stock market starts to roll over after 6 years of bull, 7 years of bull, whatever it ends up being. And I don't want to be in the bond market when the bear starts roaring there. And I hear a bear roaring in the bond market. Okay, when we come back, some good news, all right? That's the bad news. Now the good news. Let's take a look at some equities, which are still favorable, and maybe ferret out one or two. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour.
There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com.
There's a child sitting on a hard metal chair, clutching tightly to the trash bag that holds everything she owns. She's there because her father abuses her, and her mother doesn't care. There are people all around her, but she's never been more alone. A social worker tells her not to worry, that they'll find a place for her soon, as she dials yet another number, this time to a group home, and then a shelter, and then a temporary housing facility. If she called you, would you make a place for this child? The Bear Foundation is a Christian foster care ministry, and our homes and families are made up of people just like you who, when called, answered yes. This is your call. Right now, there's a child or teen who's wondering, where am I going to live? Who will take care of me? You have the answer. Call the Bear Foundation today. For more information about Christian foster care, call 1-866-265-2476, 866-265-2476, or visit christianfostercare.org.
The stock market has never been busier or harder to keep up with. One day biotechs are hot, the next day they are not. High tech is down, low tech is up. And what about bonds and your 401k? So many questions coming faster than ever. But now you can keep up by subscribing to the Best Stocks Now podcast. Take it with you wherever you go. The Best Stocks Now podcast comes to you from the headquarters of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationally recognized firm that handles over $100 million in assets, not a newsroom. That is why the Best Stocks Now podcast is one of the most popular shows of its kind, and why you see Bill Gunderson so often on so many national financial news shows. Just subscribe one time and it's delivered automatically to your smartphone or computer every day. And don't tell your accountant, but it's free and easy to find at pwstreet.com. pwstreet.com, the Best Stocks Now podcast. Don't miss a thing. Get it now.
Are you having a hard time being in the right places at the right time in the market and being out of the wrong neighborhoods when troubles arise? Why don't you download Bill Gunderson's app, Best Stocks Now, on your Apple or Android device? Every day, the Best Stocks Now app ranks the 45 asset classes that you have to choose from as an investor. It is absolutely vital to be in the right asset classes and out of the wrong ones. This has the potential to greatly increase your portfolio returns over time. It is also important to be in the right sectors of the market and out of the worst ones. The Best Stocks Now app ranks the various sectors in the markets on a daily basis. The app also ranks about 3,500 investment choices daily. The ranking is based on performance, value, and technical patterns. Download the app today from the Apple App Store or the Android Marketplace. That's the Best Stocks Now app.
Nearly every day you hear a tragic story on the news about a teenager and the internet. Well, Be Safe Online would like to share some positive news with you. News of families who have prevented similar tragedies because they were protected with the ultimate family internet filter.
A dad from Ohio writes, "It stopped the kids from getting on a few sites that they should not go to. And the best thing is the time restraints. Online time now ends promptly at 11 p.m. No ifs or just a seconds anymore."
Writes a mom in Minnesota, "I questioned my oldest son and he admitted that the ads he saw in a honey magazine made him curious. He went online to check it out and he told me Be Safe Online blocked it. Thank you so much."
And who can forget the dad in Georgia who wrote this? "With BeSafe's help, I managed to keep my 14-year-old away from a guy who, shortly after, was in the paper for raping another 14-year-old. God bless BeSafe. Go to BeSafeOnline.com and protect your family today. That's BeSafeOnline.com, the letter B, then SafeOnline.com.
And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, so far we've talked about a couple of weighty matters here. I hate to make it so heavy and depressing, but you know what? I don't own any bonds, so, you know, I don't feel any weight on my shoulders. But if I was an investment manager that had 50% of my business in bond funds and bond ETFs, I'd be a little nervous right now. Because I believe that we've entered into a rising interest rate environment. And it's not just me. The giants of the industry are bracing for a rising interest rate environment. Common sense says that the U.S. at 5.5% unemployment or wherever we're at right now, cannot maintain a 0%, zero interest rate policy. We've got to start moving back to normal, which is more in the 3 or 4%. And if I'm not mistaken, the 30-year mortgage is now over 4%. And probably before it's over, you know, you're going to be up around 5, 6% before too long. What does that mean for mortgage REITs? What does that mean for real estate investment trust? What does that mean for bond funds? What does that mean for bond ETFs? Not good. And at some point, the stock market will be taken to the woodshed. That time is not coming yet. It doesn't appear to be right around the horizon. So we're going to continue to focus for now on the stock market, on equities, and equities that pay dividends for your income portion of your portfolio. The stock I want to feature today, I don't know that it pays a dividend. Let me just take a look here. It is a technology stock, and it is an overseas stock. And I do like overseas stocks right now because they're printing money overseas. We're not printing money anymore here in America. We're not lowering interest rates here anymore in America. Instead, that's going on basically in Europe, China, and Japan. This next company that we're going to talk about and feature here today and use as a teaching example is NXP Semiconductors, which is headquartered in the Netherlands. It's a Netherlands-based provider of mixed signal, analog, power management, RF, and digital processing semiconductors. Came public in 2010. Since that point in time, their earnings, which is the mother's milk of stock price appreciation, earnings have grown by 76% per year. That's pretty good growth. That's phenomenal growth. I mean, you contrast that with an Intel. Their earnings growth over the last 5 years has been 1% per year. NXPI has been 76%. Now, they can't continue at that pace, but they could continue at, in my opinion, a pace that is superior to what a lot of their peers, like companies, can do. Let's just take a look now. Let's go to the Best Stocks Now app. By the way, I was one of the attendees at the conference I was at, which was a very select group of people, 15, I believe, 10 to 15 from around the country, advisors. One of the guys I sat by was from Treasure Island, Florida, where we're heard on the Sarasota station there, and we're also heard in Tampa. And we were talking, and all of a sudden it dawned on him, and he showed me his iPhone, and right there smack dab in the middle was my app. He says, I love your app. We love your app down here. We use your app. And he was a sharp money manager. He's from the old school. They have a process for selecting stocks. They manage stock portfolios. How refreshing. He's not one that's been forced into this little box that you can't get out of asset allocation. No, they manage stock portfolios. And he showed me many of his holdings, and we had a lot of like holdings between the two of us. He uses a few more criteria than I do. I want to say they used about 70 criteria in their stock selection process. You know, I'm probably more around 10 to 12 criteria in my stock selection process, but we had a lot of commonality between us. Well, one of the stocks, I don't know if he owned it, but I own it in my moderate risk profile, is a stock, like I say, by the name of NXPI Semiconductors. Now, one of the top criteria in my book, there's actually two main criteria, and then there's subsets of those criteria. Performance is one. And I said, probably my system puts in a little bit more of the performance, the momentum, than yours does, the relative strength. So we may have a few different holdings. But overall, we both agreed that there's superior stocks and there's inferior stocks. What makes NXPI a superior stock? Well, I just said that the earnings have been growing by 76% per year over the last 5 years. What do you think the stock has done? It's been averaging 73% per year. Because there's this correlation, you see, between earnings growth and stock price appreciation. Over the last 12 months, NXPI is up 70%. And you might think, well, this is one of those dot-com stocks from the year 2000 that's got a P.E. ratio of 375. Well, the other major criteria I look at, and subsets thereof, is valuation. No, I saw what happened in the year 2000. I saw what happened to single-family homes in the year 2008. Value is a big, big consideration to take into account before investing. NXPI is currently trading at 15 times forward earnings. They're expected to make $6.59 next year. The stock is currently trading at 103. That means it's trading at 15.6 times forward earnings. Now forget NXPI just for a minute. This applies to all stocks. Take a look at how much you're paying for the earnings of the company. Because earnings, like I say, there's this correlation between earnings growth and stock price appreciation. But you don't want to pay too much for those earnings. 15.6 is a discount to the overall market right now, which is trading at about 17 to 18 times forward earnings. It's also a discount to the expected growth rate of the company going forward. And that's another commonality I had with the gentleman from Florida. Is he believes in growth at a reasonable price, GARP. So do I. You got a company that's trading at 15 times earnings that is expected to grow by 25% per year. That means it's trading at a discount to its growth rate. And we show that shows up in the PEG ratio. Probably if you're looking for one ratio that tells you whether you're buying growth at a reasonable price or not would be the PEG ratio. If it's trading at 1, that means it's trading right at its growth rate. And that's not always the kiss of death. I buy a lot of stocks that are trading at a premium to their growth rate because they're premium stocks. But for the most part, I like to buy stocks that are trading at a discount to their growth rate. The PEG ratio on NXPI is 60.6. So it's trading at a big, big discount to its growth rate. I have a $198 target price 5 years from now on NXPI, which I adjust every week or every few weeks. To me, it still has significant upside potential. It's not Intel. It's not a mega cap. It's a $24 billion company. It is a large cap stock, but it's in that technology arena, which always brings with it more risk. That's why I never make any one position more than 2 to 4% of my overall portfolio. And NXPI is one of the stocks that we own in our managed accounts, happens to be in the moderate risk profile here at Gunderson Capital Management. And out of the 4,091 different stocks, mutual funds, bond ETFs, indexes, individual stocks that I have to choose from, NXPI comes in at number 116. And it's just a very good example of what I call the criteria that I use, that the app goes out and searches for every day and reports back to me. And here's one that comes in at number 116. And then the last thing, before I send something out the door, I like to look at that visual, that last little bit of quality control. How does the chart look? You don't want an ugly, sick chart. No, it looks pretty healthy. It's in a nice consolidation right now. Hopefully it'll break out again at some point here in the near future. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour.
There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com.
Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter gave a buy signal on the market on March 27, 2009. That was just 18 days after the S&P 500 had finally hit bottom at 666. The buy signal has been in place ever since. How valuable was that call in the weekly newsletter to investors? The market has more than doubled since then. While market pundits were clamoring about a collapsing dollar, runaway inflation, and soaring gold prices, Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter told investors that stocks were the best place to be. Bill Gunderson is not a permabull, however. At some point in the future, the newsletter will give a sell signal. Investors, be warned. The last bear market took 53% out of the S&P 500. Why not sign up for a free 4-week trial to Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter? You can do so by visiting his website at pwstreet.com. Again, that's pwstreet.com.
Are you having a hard time being in the right places at the right time in the market and being out of the wrong neighborhoods when troubles arise? Why don't you download Bill Gunderson's app, Best Stocks Now, on your Apple or Android device? Every day, the Best Stocks Now app ranks the 45 asset classes that you have to choose from as an investor. It is absolutely vital to be in the right asset classes and out of the wrong ones. This has the potential to greatly increase your portfolio returns over time. It is also important to be in the right sectors of the market and out of the worst ones. The Best Stocks Now app ranks the various sectors in the markets on a daily basis. The app also ranks about 3,500 investment choices daily. The ranking is based on performance, value, and technical patterns. Download the app today from the Apple App Store or the Android Marketplace. That's the Best Stocks Now app.
Jack was ready to quit and justified in wanting out. Ineffective boss, deadweight co-workers, no recognition, a struggling business. He dashed off a blistering resignation by email, then hit the delete key. Now, more coolly, he picked up the phone to arrange an evening with an old mentor. Later, he talked things over with his best friend, who happened to be his wife. The next day, a renewed employee went to work. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Lady Lodge. The new Jack was just as aware of his job's shortcomings. Only now, he intended to be the difference he had long wanted to see. The best change to a bad job starts inside us, in the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
Prevent those frustrating seasonal symptoms, including sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes that can spoil your time outdoors by supercharging your immune response right at the source, your digestive tract, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. If your immune system views pollen, animal dander, or wheat as a dangerous invader, it will react by stimulating an inflammatory response and incite all those unpleasant symptoms. What you may not know is that the immune receptor cells residing in your gut all depend on a healthy probiotic population to function at their peak. That's why Dr. Fred Pescatore, a best-selling author on the subject, recommends Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as a top-tier defense in the management of seasonal symptoms. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics delivers live, beneficial bacteria in an easily absorbed formula and is backed by over 25 years of research. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference and enjoy the outdoors again.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. You know, I was talking with the money manager down in Florida. He lives right by Sarasota. I said, I do a radio show every day down there in your market. Do you ever listen to my radio show? No. You know, there's a lot of people don't listen to radio anymore. I still listen to radio. I like talk radio, sports talk, politics, the markets, financial. I just like to hear people talk, and that's how you gain and gather knowledge and learn things from listening to other people and experts in different industries. And so maybe I can get him to at least start listening to my radio. But he runs a very big firm down there, and they have a process, just like I have a process. I think they have like a 70 criteria process that a stock needs to meet before they invest in it, and their results have been very, very good. What are the most important criteria? You know, you can get lost in the weeds. I mean, you can really get down into the weeds with the criteria. And over time, you know, I've pared criteria away from my process and tried to focus on the ones that I believe mean the most. In my book, the number one criteria is earnings. How can it not be earnings? Earnings represent how much the company is making. Now you say, well, Bill, you do buy companies that don't have any earnings from time to time. Some of these biotechs you own, like Bluebird, doesn't have any earnings. No. Well, in that case, they have potential earnings, and they fit my other criteria. But the number one criteria, look, we just went through NXPI Semiconductor. They've been growing their earnings by 76% per year over the last 5 years. Isn't that the most important thing to know about that stock? Don't you think that that's the number one reason why the stock has also gone up by a rate of 76% per year? So earnings and earnings growth. So that eliminates a lot of companies that are stodgy old stocks of yesteryear that have slowed down to single-digit growth. The second most important criteria in my book would be, you know, either valuation. How much am I paying for those earnings? Let's go with that one. We'll call that number two. How much am I paying for those earnings? Yes, it's nice that a company is growing by 76% per year, but do I have to pay 200 times earnings for it? Valuation is very important. And I see most people in my industry don't do valuations anymore on stocks. There's a lot of people that are just all about momentum, all about relative strength, which I would call the number three criteria. Relative strength is very important because it shows that the stock is moving in the right direction, and it's moving in the right direction more than likely because the above two criteria are superior. The earnings are growing. They're in a sweet spot in the market. They're not facing any headwinds. They have the wind behind it, and they still make sense from a valuation point of view, which is attracting investors. Earnings, very important criteria. Valuation, very important criteria. And relative performance to their peers, to the market. I compare the relative performance. I go out even on a wider basis. Investors Business Daily compares relative performance of a stock against all other stocks. I believe it's a relative world out there. I'm not limited to the stock market. I can buy a stock in Frankfurt, Germany. I can buy a bond fund. I can buy an inverse S&P 500 ETF. So I compare my relative strength against the whole world, the universe, and I keep adding to my universe every single day. If I have to buy a small cap in China, I'll buy a small cap in China. The world is relative. In my book, the three most important criteria are earnings growth, number one, number two, valuation, and number three, relative strength against all the other choices that I have out there. If something is out of favor, what do you think the relative strength of bond market, bond funds, bond mutual funds? That's how I saw this whole thing coming. They started dropping, plummeting in relative strength. They're being left behind by other asset classes, by other indexes, by other mutual funds, by other stocks in the market. They're on a relative basis, they're not the best place to be. And I would say that the fourth most important criteria, now each one of these criteria have subsets, but I'm just talking basics here. This is all you really have to focus on. The fourth one to me is the picture that it draws every day, that being the technical pattern. And there's some people that's all they use is the technical pattern. Well, that ignores the growth, that ignores the earnings, and you're saying, well, that's built into the technical pattern. Well, you know what? I just want to make sure. And it totally ignores valuation, which I think is a very important criteria. Now, the criteria that to me are very, very low on the totem pole would be things like, and you know, other people are going to cringe because they treasure these criteria, return on equity, return on investment, current ratio, debt to equity. A lot of these things, for me, don't really come into play. As long as those four that I just mentioned are dominant and superior, you know, I still look at things. What industry is it in? What size is the company? How liquid is the trading of it? Is it a very illiquid stock? All of that comes into play. But those four criteria really dominate my process here at Gunderson Capital Management. And I want to think that it keeps me out of the bad areas, the bad neighborhoods of the market. And it keeps me in the ones that are flourishing, the neighborhoods that are growing and flourishing and moving up in value. And then again, you know, the other thing you have to watch are the cycles. And when the cycles start to change, those stocks that are leading now will start falling from grace. And here comes Europe. Here comes Japan storming higher. Here comes stocks from China storming higher and replacing the ones that were at the top of the cycle. Now they're starting to roll over and move towards the bottom of the list while other ones rise. Markets are cyclical. Got to ride with the cycles. Anyways, you can get my newsletter, which I put out every weekend, pwstreet.com. And if you'd like to talk to us about money management, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based, registered investment advisor. All accounts are held at Scottrade. Scottrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.